Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert, and this is season number 8.
Oh, we've started a brand new countdown.
That's right. I was waiting for you to go, woohoo!
Woohoo!
There you go. So I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
Fedra Eckres is off today, but she will be returning next week, we believe. So, hope she's doing well. Anyway,
she's got her holiday to celebrate, so.
Yes, she's got her holiday that she's celebrating, and hope she has a nice holiday. So on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to review, well, I guess we last time Fedra and I reviewed the first episode of The Book of Boba Fett. The second episode has come out, and I guess we'll talk about that, and Jack will give his impressions, I guess, on the series. I guess the first two episodes. We'll also talk about some news. I just want to say that, I don't know, Jack, did you see this? I went, well, actually, I had seen on January 1st, they released the 20th anniversary reunion for Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone or the Sorcerer's Stone.
I saw the commercials for it. I didn't watch it because although I read a few of the books and I liked the movies, I can't say that I'm like one of these very strong Harry Potter fans.
Really? I didn't know that.
It had some interesting things to it. And the movies are good enough from 4 forward. What was the fourth one? The when they're having the Wizard's Cup. Goblet of Fire.
Well, I can't believe. So you're telling me is I know more about Harry Potter than you do?
I'd probably say it's a safe bet.
Wow.
Like, I liked Harry Potter. That new series, Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the actors in it or the leads. It seems like it has a great supporting cast, but the leads are just downright boring to me. I just cannot get into it. I tried watching the first one a couple of times and didn't even bother going to the second one. And I know the third one is coming out soon, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm the same, Jack. I saw the first one, wasn't crazy about it, never bothered with the second one. Don't care about the third one. Yeah, it's just they're just milking it because they can't do any more Harry Potter stuff. So they're just trying to get something to do with the world of Harry Potter, which is, I don't know, Hogsworth or whatever.
From the Harry Potter movies and the books, it seems like if they wanted to go mining for characters, I mean, they could get a pretty good storyline going with them. Without Harry Potter, because some of those characters I thought were interesting to start with.
No, you're right.
But going that far back into Dumbledore and Griswold, whatever his name is, I don't think they probably had to go back that far. They could have gone to, like, the Order of the Phoenix and had them fighting the Death Eaters or something. I think that would have been more interesting to me.
Yeah, I think they were trying to do that. Again, it's Hogwarts. Excuse me. It's a prequel. So, you see like a young Dumbledore and you see a young Voldemort. But anyway, getting to the 20th anniversary.
Oh, the special. That's right.
Yeah, no, it was fun. You know, it was about, I think it was, I could be wrong, maybe 2 hours. And no, it was kind of fun to see them all back because they've all grown. They're all different. I feel bad for them because most of them really aren't doing much. And I guess they're just kind of working like the Comic-Con conventions things, like where they basically sign memorabilia or they take pictures with the fans and stuff like that. And they really haven't done that much other than like Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson, who are two of the leads. But
I think they're the only two. I don't think the guy who's Ron has gotten too far doing much.
No.
Has he? Unless he's doing like smaller artsy films or something. I don't know.
Well, he does plays, you know, like he's on Broadway and I think the London stage and all that.
There's a lot of people who do very well with that. So you know, he might be doing all right with it.
But the whole glaring omission of J.K. Rowling was kind of weird. They had some footage of her, but they made sure that everybody knew that it was from 2019.
before she started blogging, tweeting. Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you start tweeting. Like, neither Jack and I tweet. I think we both have Twitter accounts, but, you know.
I can't get into it.
You're always going to offend somebody. Even I mean, most of the times it's not intentional, but somebody will read it a different way. And so I think it's just best if we offend people here, you know, which we a lot of time, you know, I don't mean to do it. I'm just kind of saying how I feel about things, but I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with me and they might not agree with
Jack too. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I started watching the movies over again, and I guess they were successful because that's what I think they wanted people to do. I ended up buying the 4K versions of the whole set, and I finished 5 today. So I got 6 and 7 part 1 and 2 to go. And they're fun to watch back to back. I haven't seen them in so long, so they're almost like brand new movies to me because I forgot so many things that had occurred. So it's kind of fun to see. My biggest problem with the series is Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort. I just think he was miscast or he just didn't play him right. He was too flamboyant.
I thought he was great.
I don't know. I just think he wasn't scary. His design wasn't scary. And I never pictured Voldemort laughing as much as this guy does.
No, so. after seeing him as Voldemort, and then saw the Kingsman, I'd love to see him as Dr. Doom for some reason. I don't know. He has that sort of dryness in his voice.
Oh, so he was in the Kingsman?
Yes, he is the Kingsman.
All right, we'll get into that in a second.
Okay. But yeah, so. I think he'd be awesome as like a Dr. Doom if they went for an older Fantastic forecast.
No, he's good. I like him as M. I'm trying to think what else he was in fairly recently, but you know, he's a good actor. I just don't think that he pulled off Voldemort properly, or could have been the directors or whatever the hell. They just didn't get, because he should have been a lot more scary than he was. And then my other problem, it's just subjective. And my other problem was with Richard Harris played the first Dumbledore, and then he died after the second one. So they replaced him with Michael Gambon. I just didn't like Michael Gambon. And for some reason, they put this little beanie on his head, which annoyed the hell out of me. Because wizards don't wear beanies. They wear pointy hats, you know? And it always irritated me. It looks like he was in his pajamas during the whole series. And he also... I like Michael Gambon. I've seen him in a lot of movies. I think he's a really good actor, but he just couldn't play Dumbledore. And he was a little arrogant because he didn't want to read the books. He didn't want to know what the character was. He wanted to portray him the way he wanted to portray him. And it just didn't work because Dumbledore he's a strong and powerful wizard, but he's also very gentle and, you know, reserved. And that's why, you know, Richard Harris played him perfectly. This Michael Gambon just like is screaming, yelling all the time. And I just don't get it. Although I do think what they were trying to do is they're making him play Gandalf. He probably would have been a halfway decent Gandalf, not as good as Ian McKellen, but if you see him in the movies, like I watch them now, you know, the Harry Potter movies, he's more like Gandalf, like, you know, because Gandalf every now and then will get mad and he'll yell. But then he has a quiet side to him too. And that's what he's playing the character as. And it just doesn't work.
Well, I think it also evolved out of the books as well. Because in the first few books, Dumbledore was kind of grandfatherly with them. But as the books went on, he kind of started to get a little bit more serious, a little bit treat these kids as they've matured differently. That when they were very young, they were kind of coddled a bit and, you know, but as it went on and the stakes were raised, I guess Dumbledore got a little bit tougher on them. But I think they did lose a bit of that aspect of Dumbledore actually caring for the kids as much. You knew he cared, but it wasn't a nurturing sort of caring. It was, you know, protect them, keep them safe.
At some point he had to stay away from Harry, like in the fifth book, which I just watched the fifth movie, mm-hmm. because he was afraid that Harry was going to read his mind because he was connected to Voldemort and Voldemort had came back and he didn't want Voldemort to know their plans and all that. So he may have gotten a little tougher there, but even so, whatever, I just didn't like him. I mean, the last thing I'm going to say again is with J.K. Rowling. Now, again, I don't agree with a lot of things that J.K. Rowling has said. And I think what's going on with her and I guess the trans community or the supporters is they're both right and they're both wrong. I think that they should try to work together, which they never will. But I think that they kind of egg each other on, and she's no saint in this because recently she said something and I was like, you just need to just back off. You know, it's you know, anything that you're going to say, especially when it comes to that subject matter, is just going to irritate the people. And that's kind of being mean in a way. But I also think that they shouldn't just write her off or wish that she just disappear from the face of the earth, because when you watch these movies and you read these books, she did a lot of things for a lot of people. This movie, when you watch it, and I never really realized it before, it's pretty diverse. They have a lot of different characters from different races and genders. And a lot of the characters too, they kind of share qualities with, I guess, people that could be in the gay community that, you know, might be fearful of coming out, or even people in the trans community that, you know, are having, you know, whatever they go through. Well,
they have their own fight ahead of them that, you know, not being that way, it's kind of tough to know how they feel with everything they go through, but that doesn't mean you can't sympathize with them.
Yeah, exactly. And like Tonks is a perfect character. I mean, she seems to transform a lot during, you know, the movies. And I think that she's a favorite of a lot of people too. And she's a cool character. It's sad that even like when I was watching them do Quidditch, with Quidditch, she combined both the boys and the girls onto, like, you could have a team with girls on it and boys at the same time. And you never see that like in regular sports. I can't think of any regular sports where they do that, where it's a combined genders. Mm-hmm. And I think that it says a lot too, you know, that she was looking, because it works. You know, I don't watch it and say, oh, you know, they shouldn't have girls on the team, or it should be an all girl team or an all boy team. No, they work as a team. And I think that that's great that she created a sport, you know, where both genders could work together and be successful, you know, on a team. I just think that sometimes they should look back at that and see that she did kind of opened doors and was trying to relate to other people in the world what we didn't, you know, what we didn't see because we're not, you know, those specific people. Anyway, I'm going to cut it. I would be nice if they all got together and be friends, but I really don't see that happening.
Well, unfortunately, it comes down to, like we've said before on the show a lot of times, the trouble with cancel culture is that once someone has been canceled and people start canceling each other, that cuts off the dialogue. All of a sudden it's, I can't talk to you. You're done. You don't matter anymore. And that's not how problems get worked out.
No.
You have to keep communication open. And even if it's J.K. Rowling, you know, you're a jerk. It's, that is still communication. Or how could you say this, and giving her a chance to explain herself? You know, that keeps the communication going, you know. And we don't have to agree in this world. It just will not happen. But if we don't talk to each other, we're not going to solve our problems. And that is the big problem, I think, with the whole cancel culture. Without communications, things don't move forward. You end up stuck where you are. And that's not a good way to be. But okay, no, I'm jumping off my soapbox. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, we want to talk about you. So I know you had seen The Kingsman.
So yes.
What do you think about that?
The Kingsman, it was fun. I liked it. Nothing beats the first one, though, because everything in the first one was new. And yeah, we hadn't seen it before. This went into the whole origins of the Kingsman. However, it was a good story. It was a fun story. All the parts were very well played. I can't say there was anybody in it that I didn't like. I thought everybody did pretty well in it. It was a fun movie. Was it a great movie? It's, like I said, it's not as fun as the original Kingsman, because we also had a lot more pop culture references that we get, the music playing and everything. Since this has happened so many years in the past, you know, we're not getting that aspect.
So this is a prequel.
Because it's a prequel.
Is Eggsy at all in this movie?
No. But that said, it is still a lot of fun. I liked it a lot more than the second Kingsman, the Golden Circle. Was that
the
name of it? I liked it much more than that. And it was a fun movie. It was definitely also like one of those movies that's either a summer movie or that Christmas time action movie, just to get people out of the house and into the theaters. It was a lot of fun. I would say go see it. I would give it probably a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Okay. That's what I figured that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun. The team worked that they had, you know, put together for it. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to ruin anything. But the whole premise of how this came to be was pretty good. Was it shocking twist? No, but there were some shocking twists in it, and it was pretty good. So I'd check it out.
Yeah. I like the first one. Like you, I thought it was excellent.
And you know what? It is rewatchable. I'll put
the first one or the new one,
this new one, The Kingsman.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Where I didn't find the second one rewatchable. I saw it and I'm like, oh, all right. You know, but the Kingsmen, I would put on anytime and just let that go. This one is in that category. So that's how you tell how much I like a movie, I guess. If I can rewatch it and not feel like the clock is dragging.
I haven't seen them in a while. Who was the guy? Was it Lancelot or Galahad that got killed in the first movie?
Remember? I think Lancelot.
Yeah. When they brought him back, that was ridiculous. Although he was like one of the best parts of the first movie, they should have just left him dead or just not killed him in the first movie. Yeah, I'm with you with the second movie. There's a lot of cool parts in the second movie, but it's also a weird story, an uninteresting story. Elton John, they pushed a little too much. I think that they kind of they should have pulled back a little bit on him, and the villainess wasn't that great. But it's still
I love Julianne Moore, but and I thought the plot was good. The whole thing though, the statesman, I really, you know, I would have just preferred it if it was just the Kingsman
again. Oh, well, I liked Pedro Pascal, though, as the cowboy. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, but just, I don't know. There was just something about, you know, the Kingsman, it's a certain type of movie. You know, like, James Bond doesn't usually have, you know, a CIA counterpart.
He does sometimes, you know, Felix Leiter.
But that's usually a secondary player. Like, they're never quite as good as James Bond. With this, I thought the statesmen were kind of pushed like they were better than the Kingsmen. And I don't know. I just couldn't get into that team. I really couldn't. So, like I said, I liked the villain's plot. I thought that was very clever. When you think about it, I could honestly really see that happening, you know, but I just didn't find it as much fun as the first one. And yeah, I found this one. I have to say the fight scene at the end is probably one of the best fight scenes I've seen in an action movie, like a one-on-one sort of fight scene that I've seen in a movie in a while.
I'll be honest with you. All the fight scenes at the end of their movies are really good. I think that the fight scene at the end of Kingsman, when he's fighting that girl with the razor leg kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's so damn cool. And then when they're fighting the cowboy and the other guy that was, I forget his name. They always have good fight scenes. It's Matthew Vaughn directs it. He's really cool. He did those X-Men First Class, and he's a good director. I like him a lot.
Well, like I said, this fight scene, it looked really good. And like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but it looked real enough like the characters were in actual danger. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, you know, they could be fighting on the ledge of a building, you know, and they're just fighting and moving. And, you know, it's like, yeah, they could be on the, you know, ground below, using the same moves, fighting the same way without any regard of their surroundings. This wasn't like this. This actually felt like, you know, if the guy was fighting on a ledge, like, he knew he could fall at any time and go over. Or if he got thrown into a wall, you know, you could see it like, ouch, that hurt, you know, not just they throw him into the wall and he dusts some sheetrock off him or something and keeps on fighting. It was really a good fight scene at the end.
Oh, that's cool. All right, let's get into the news. So let's talk about Spider-Man No Way Home first. Okay. It's still breaking box office records, or it's still making money anyway. So far, I'd say as of Thursday night, it's made almost $1.4 billion worldwide.
Wow.
Do you think it's going to hit $2
billion? 1.4 is phenomenal considering what the world is going through. If it wasn't, $2 billion billion was a huge benchmark, but a lot of movies that are hyped up like these Marvel movies are hitting that score since consistently. However, $2 billion, I think that's a little bit far off. What could be the saving grace is that a lot of movies due to COVID are being pushed back with their, you know, release dates. Morbius was just the latest one to get delayed again. But that might keep people like, yeah, I want to go see a movie. Maybe I'll go see Spider-Man again. That was really good. So it might go further because of a lack of competition out there. However, as the situation in the world is getting worse and worse day by day, I don't know if as many people are going to be going out. So I would probably bet against it hitting the 2 billion box office. I think once it becomes available, people will be snatching it up. So they'll make the 2 billion if you include Blu-ray or online sales or streaming sales.
No, we're not talking about that.
But box office, I don't think it's going to be able to, I don't think Spider-Man's going to be able to stand up to the threat of COVID.
I think it's very possible it'll happen just because, like, right now it's 1.4 billion and it's Thursday night. So we got this weekend coming up. And again, we're looking at worldwide. So I can see it making another 200 million this weekend worldwide, which would bring it to like 1.6. And January, there's not that much stuff coming up. Like you said, some things were delayed.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it getting to like that 1.6, 1.7 mark. I just don't see it breaking the 2.0.
I'm going to say I think it will. I think it'll break 2 billion. If it doesn't break 2 billion, it'll be 1.9. It's going to be close. But I think what's probably going to do it in officially will be the Batman when that comes out. And I think that's coming out in February, I think.
I don't know, though. This Batman, I don't know if we're going to see these kind of numbers for Batman, because we've seen many reiterations of that. I just don't know.
I'm not saying
long enough time period.
I'm not saying it's gonna, that the Batman is gonna break $1 billion, but I think that's gonna take away a lot of box office from Spider-Man No Way Home. I think it'll be playing in less theaters because the Batman's gonna be playing in more theaters. But yeah, and I can't see that making a, they'll be lucky if they make $1 billion with the Batman. It's got to be a very good movie, and I don't think it's going to be. I could be wrong, but I think we kind of all agree right now the trailers really haven't super impressed us. So,
and the villain, what they've done is the Riddler. He looks like a mess.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, who came up with, hey, you know what? Let's just wrap his head in duct tape and give him goggles, and hey, this is our villain. Like, you know, the Riddler is supposed to be the smart guy who's always tricking everybody, not like a Bane looking guy, you know, big, muscular, tells bad jokes. I don't know. But hey, maybe I'm wrong. Good luck, Warner Brothers. I'm waiting for Shazam. I'd rather see that any day than any other DC stuff coming out.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. So anyway, so one of the big things that started trending recently is, like, you know, like how they were trying to release the Snyder Cut, and that trended, and that kind of pushed Warner Brothers to give Zack Snyder a second chance at editing his movie. And then we got to see it last year, the 4-hour masterpiece or fiasco, depending on what you thought of the movie. I thought it was okay, but I don't think it's like the Citizen Kane of DC movies either. I think a lot of people, again, it's subjective. There are a lot of people out there that say that it's the best DC movie that they've made.
And there are other people who say, Zack Snyder, you owe me 4 hours of life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm kind of in the middle. I think, you know, there's part of me that would like to see it again, but 4 hours is a long time to see that movie, especially when it's basically the same story as the previous movie. It's just that they had a different camera angle, whatever the hell, a little bit more story, I will admit, but I'm just, yeah, kind of not looking forward to it. Anyway, so my point is, what's trending now is they want to, I guess it's a hashtag make TSM3, which is the Amazing Spider-Man 3. And then recently they started what trend, it re, you know, after that was hashtag make the Raimi Spider-Man 4. So they're trying to get that done. The fans are trying to do what they did with the Snyder cut for the Spider-Man movies. So Jack, my question to you is, what would you rather see? Would you rather see an Amazing Spider-Man 3 or a Spider-Man 4?
You mean a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 4?
Yeah, Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 4.
That's a tough call. I would probably say if we could see Andrew Garfield as the Spider-Man we saw him in No Way Home, I would probably lean towards Amazing Spider-Man 3. Tobey Maguire has a certain amount of charm to him, but I know you like an older Spider-Man, but he's a little bit too older of a Spider-Man now, I think. He was great as, you know, youth pastor Spider-Man in No Way Home. But, I mean, the Andrew Garfield that we saw at the end of No Way Home, it looked like he had some of that Spider-Man optimism restored to him. Even the way he was communicating with MJ and Ned when he came out the first time, where, you know, like, well, prove you're Spider-Man, crawl on the ceiling. And he like puts his hand up and he's hanging by one hand. He's like, how's this? And they're like, no, that's not enough. Like, oh, come on. You know, there was a little bit more playfulness to him without being as sarcastic as he was in the first two Amazing Spider-Man movies. So I would probably say an Amazing Spider-Man 3, but once again, I mean, I don't know what they would do. I hope that they went in a fresh direction.
There's plenty they could do.
Well, I mean, I really don't want to see any more of that Oscorp plot.
No, I agree. Yeah, that just didn't work.
You know, I really, right now, I wouldn't mind seeing Jamie Foxx back as an Electro, as long as it's the Electro we saw in
No Way Home. Well, not right away, maybe in a couple of sequels, but not
like I said, I'd rather see him come along. Like if they started developing a Secret Six, not a Secret Sinister Six, you know, I'd like to see him back in that mix again.
Yeah, in the mix, but not as the main villain for
Spider-Man 3. You couldn't reuse him, but like, that version of Green Goblin just was
sick. No. Yeah.
The Rhino, Paul Giamatti, I thought that was a good throwaway villain, you know, for a big fight scene, a lot of special effects and stuff, but there's not much you could have done with him story-wise, I thought. But like I said, that last bit in Amazing Spider-Man 2 where they're on Park Avenue and, you know, he's in the Rhino suit. He's threatening to, you know, wreck the city. And Spider-Man swings in. He's like, gets the megaphone from the cops. He's like, all right, can everybody just calm down? Let's talk about this and stuff. Like I said, that was a good scene. That was probably my most favorite scene in that whole movie. The same way, even with the hokey bit with the little kid with the Spider-Man mask, you know, and he says, I got it. You go back to your mom, you know. You see, that's the Spider-Man I wish we saw more of in the Amazing Spider-Man movies. We didn't see it until the last 2 or 3 minutes of the second movie. So if they kept in that direction, I'd rather see an Amazing Spider-Man 3. However, Sam Raimi, I think, does a good job with most of his villains. I like the Sandman, even though he went a little bit too sentimental on the redemption arc.
Yeah, I'm going to make a big disagree on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, his Doc Ock was really good. Venom could have been better.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Well,
and Green Goblin wasn't that great either.
Yeah, but there was, as we saw in No Way Home, there was a lot of development that could have come from the groundwork he set, and he could have done something fun, something good. So, however, I would have rather seen another younger Spider-Man than we would see if Tobey Maguire resumed the role. But I'd much rather see another Tom Holland movie.
I would rather see, out of the two, probably Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. But I wouldn't mind seeing an Amazing Spider-Man 3 too. I would rather see those two franchises get a kickstart, or, you know, reboot, or whatever the hell you want to call it, instead of us having to see another Venom movie, a Morbius movie, a Black Cat movie, or Kraven movie. Give us a Spider-Man movie every year. I think that it would make a lot of money. I think you're looking at close to $1 billion. When you make a Venom movie, I think right now, if they made a Venom 3, I don't think they could save that franchise after this last one. It's just going to have, what is it called? Like declining, you know, revenue. Always.
Being returned.
There you go. Thank you.
Come on, you were the accountant, not me.
I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. But yeah, the diminishing returns. It's never going to make as much money as the first one. And I think the first one, people were just curious, because I think that movie sucked. But and the second one was even worse. But again, like I said, I don't want to see a movie without Spider-Man in it. If you're going to have a villain, he's got to have Spider-Man in it. I just don't like this whole crap, what they do, like what they did with the Suicide Squad. He had two Suicide Squad movies, and you had a Birds of Prey movie with Harley Quinn. And again, I would just rather see, I'm just not into that. If you're going to have villains, I'd rather them be introduced in superhero movies, like Black Adam. Did we really need a Black Adam movie? Couldn't he have been in Shazam?
Yeah, you're right.
It's just, I'm getting tired of this crap, and I would rather them say, all right, so next year, we're going to have Spider-Man 4, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 4. Then the following year...
Is it just next year? Is it a longer period, or are they going to crank this baby out?
If I'm CEO of Sony, this is my decision. And then after that, we're going to have Amazing Spider-Man 3. Then after that, we're going to have, Home Again. we'll do another one with Tom Holland and just keep releasing it that way. People, I guess, will eventually get tired of it, but we'll get more Spider-Man. One of those movies has got to be good, I would hope. And they'll make a lot of money. I'm saying, you put Spider-Man in a movie right now, maybe not when they were making Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2. They couldn't make $1 billion. But now the last two Spider-Man movies have made over $1 billion. I just think that Spider-Man is still the most popular Marvel character.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's what kids relate to, adults relate to. Like, the MCU movies have helped put the Marvel characters into the public's eye. But I think most people, again, are more familiar with Spider-Man. So just do that.
Well, Spider-Man is the third most recognized character in pop culture. You know who the first two are?
Superman
and
Mickey Mouse.
No, Batman.
No.
It's Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman.
And you're saying superheroes. You said most popular. I think you said most popular.
Pop culture character.
So you're saying it's all superheroes. It's not Mario from Nintendo. You're wrong.
No, I remember reading that. Those other characters do come in, but for recognition around the world, you could show anybody the Superman shield pretty much anywhere in the world, and they'll recognize that.
I'm looking.
Okay.
Really quick, I'm going to take a look here. Most popular. You got, all right, again, I'm just looking really quick. You have Batman. Apparently, they're saying is number one. Darth Vader, the Joker, Superman, Homer Simpson.
The Joker is more of a pop culture icon than Superman?
I don't know if these are in order.
Yeah, they're not in order.
This is as of May 18, 2021. Who is the most recognizable pop culture character?
Okay.
Mickey Mouse. I told you.
All right, I'm wrong then, but I remember it being, because I was surprised that Wonder Woman came in lower than Spider-Man, but.
We'll address that maybe next week, but right now, I guess we'll go through all this stuff. All right, moving on. So I kind of let you know that they had a leak for the Flash movie that's coming out this year, where we're going to see Michael Keaton return as Batman, and Ben Affleck will be his Batman. So, you know, I'm definitely interested because I did love Michael Keaton's Batman. I'd like to see what he's like as an older Batman. But some people apparently have seen it, and they're saying that a lot of people are not going to be happy because what it does is it erases the Snyderverse. So after this movie is done, we will no longer see, I guess, Ben Affleck Batman. We will no longer see Henry Cavill Superman. But there's some that it seems like are going to continue.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean, even if it erases the Snyderverse, that doesn't mean that Henry Cavill can't play Superman again, that Gal Gadot can never play Wonder Woman. Maybe certain aspects will change.
There's going to be a Wonder Woman 3. There definitely is going to be.
Right, but maybe we'll see a Henry Cavill Superman that doesn't decide to let his dad die in a tornado. Shocking.
Maybe we'll see
a Henry Cavill Superman that smiles more than twice in a movie.
It's not going to happen. First of all, J.J. Abrams is making his own Superman movie, and he already said that the Superman is going to be a black Superman. It's going to be a new Superman.
But I mean, just because the Snyderverse is erased doesn't mean anybody who's played these characters before are done and over with. They could still play the characters. It just means certain aspects of their origin stories, in quotes, has changed. So Ben Affleck could still be Batman if he wanted to in a movie. And if it's the multiverse, in quotes again, you can have a Robert Pattinson movie with Batman. You can have a Ben Affleck Batman movie. You could have another Michael Keaton, like you were just saying with Spider-Man every year. Give us a different Batman movie every year with one of those guys.
I just don't think that Warner Brothers is going to do that. I think that Warner Brothers is more messed up than Sony now.
That goes without saying. In fact, I heard today that Warner Brothers is looking to sell the CW, which means there goes the Arrowverse on TV.
Isn't that already over?
No, The Flash is still going.
Oh, that's part of the Arrowverse.
DC Legends of Tomorrow is still going.
But that would just open the door for them to have it on HBO Max.
I don't know. It's tied up in a lot of the CW stuff. So I think that's the part of the package deal. And, you know, they've been very successful I would almost say they've been more successful with their TV heroes than they have their movie heroes after giving it over to Snyder. But, you know, I don't think Warner Brothers still has a grasp on what they're doing. They need somebody that can, they need somebody who likes comic books to start leading their comic book movie division. And that's the problem.
They need someone have that. Like the Russo brothers.
Like I said, even the guy who made the Shazam movie, I'm not sure, but you could tell he loves those characters. After watching Man of Steel, Superman versus Batman and Justice League, I honestly don't think Zack Snyder really likes these people. He doesn't portray them in a heroic light, except for, you know, the incredible feats they do. But personally, none of them are very likable or heroic in their demeanors. Yes, somebody can pick up a building and throw it, but you don't really get the sense that he's a good person when he's doing that.
I would say like,
from the comic books might save him, but nothing in those movies lets you say like, wow, he's a really good guy.
I would say cinematography wise, he's got a good eye with that.
Oh yes.
Like
for the set pieces he does.
Yeah, his action scenes look incredible a lot of times. But
he just doesn't believe story should be there to support him.
I think he's got a problem with the story, and I think he has a problem with the casting, and he's too stubborn. He's like George Lucas, but he's not George Lucas. He's not at that level. He thinks he is. Again, he's the one that termed the phrase Snyderverse, you know, which who the hell are you to say that this is my verse? That's why I think that they want to erase it, because they're like, no, we're in charge. You're not in charge. You don't get to tell us what to do, what movies we're going to make. We're going to decide that. Hopefully it's good. I mean, hopefully they make the right decisions. But I know he's going to just be on Twitter like, if this Flash movie fails, whatever, he's going to say, I told you so. And then people are like, release the Snyderverse again. You know, they're like begging for him to come back. I just think that he kind of burned enough bridges where he just needs to go away and do something else. I don't think he's a horrible director. Like, again, I like 300. I like Watchmen. And I do like some of the movies that he made for DC, although he does, like, the biggest mistake was having him do Superman, because he just made him way too dark.
It
should have been a nice, fun story.
Even when he filmed Batman, Superman versus Batman, once again, Superman was just too dark. Don't let that guy have a blue filter for his camera lens. Just take it away. It's a superhero movie. We need color. We don't need everything muted.
People forget that the reason why they brought in Joss Whedon is because they didn't like what he did with Justice League. And they forget how good Joss Whedon made Superman. We finally got the Superman we wanted to see on the screen that was being held back by Zack Snyder. And, you know, people now will say, oh, no, I like this Zack Snyder's Superman in the Snyder cut.
Put him all in black.
He's in black, which makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, he's
dark and grim, just like me.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So I sent you these photos today. So you saw the pictures of the leaks. Well, they're promotional art for Thor, Love and Thunder. And we got to see Jane Foster, Thor. And we got to see, Odinson, Thor? Mm-hmm. What'd you think of them?
Now, is the Jane Foster picture you sent me?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's just not a better painted version of the comic costume?
No, that's official.
Because if that is very spot on to how she looked in the comics.
And by the way, if you guys want to see it, it should be in the description. If you go onto the WDWNT website and you go to the podcast, you should see it in our thumbnail. I put the Jane Foster Thor in our thumbnail, but also you could do a search for Jane Foster Thor, type in Natalie Portman in Google or something like that, and you'll see it. But I will say, I'm pretty impressed with what they have her, or what she looks like. First of all, I seen pictures of Natalie Portman. She has been working out. She's not super big, but she's toned. I could tell that her arms are toned. I have a feeling that that's what it's going to look like. She might even have bigger arms than this, because I had seen her looking a lot more bigger than this. But yeah, like Jack said, it looks like very similar to the comics. She's a little shorter, but that's fine. I didn't want her to be a giant, because it's just, it's tough to do with Natalie Portman. Like, she's not Shazam, like where Billy Batson turns into, you know, an adult Shazam. She's Jane Foster Thor, and she's Natalie Portman.
I think it's she is like Shazam. Well, in the comic, she was. That she was Jane Foster, but when she tapped the hammer and became Thor, she did turn into the 6-foot Amazon blonde. Well,
that's not what I mean. I'm talking about the movie. I just think it would look weird.
I think it would look weird. I would almost say, I mean, as much as I love Natalie Portman, I would hate to see, like, once she taps the hammer, you know, she becomes another actress playing her. But I also think too, if they proportionally like just grew her from, she's short, she's only like 5'4" or something like that.
Yeah, 5'4".
If they proportionally grew her to like 6 foot, you know, I think the dimensions would just look off. But I mean, the costume itself, I mean, I was looking at it, I'm like, this really just looks like the comic costume, because if it is, it's going to be one of the more accurate comic costumes we've seen on screen.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I mean, yeah. I have no complaints with it.
Thor, and she has the helmet with wings.
Yeah, and she's got the helmet with wings. Her cape is a little shorter than Thor's, but I like that. It's kind of like, I know some people might get annoyed with it, because it almost looks like Batman and Robin a little bit, that she's, you know, she's Thor, but she's not Chris Hemsworth Thor, you know, like he towers over her. And that's another thing too. I hope it's a Thor movie. I hope it's not a Jane Foster Thor movie, you know, like where he takes the back seat to her. I just wish that it's more about him and that she's fighting alongside of him.
Well, his costume design, I think, is a little too
blue.
The blue is a bit too bright, and it also looks...
I've never seen those colors on him in the comics.
Well, it looked, you know what is, maybe it's just the artwork. It looks a little too shiny. Like before, you know, in his previous armors, they were still armor, so they looked like metal. His suit looks kind of like it was Tony Stark Iron Man designed. Yes, it's armor, but it's, you know, gleaming, shiny, and bright and everything. And, you know, Thor's armor is, you know, it's more practical looking, I guess. More...
This looks like Joel Schumacher's Batman type of armor.
Yes, the fact that he even has muscle sculpted into the armor.
Yeah, like he's got boobs.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has Thor nipples, but...
I don't know, but yeah, but you see, those are the kind of elements that kind of throw me off on it, which is... Maybe if the armor is darker on screen and not as shiny and gleaming, because this looks like it has little light reflections off of it, maybe it'll look better on camera. But Natalie Portman's looks really pretty darn good.
Yeah, like I said, I'm impressed. I hope we get a teaser trailer pretty soon. I got a feeling we probably will, maybe in February. Or maybe even around the Super Bowl. Well, you know, who knows? So I don't know if you've heard this. So this is the rumor that's going around that with Boba Fett, we might be seeing a de-aged Harrison Ford as Han Solo in the last episode.
Wait, in what, like a flashback or something?
Well, kind of like what they did with Luke Skywalker and The Mandalorian.
Oh, that's right. Now I'm getting my timeline mixed up a bit. I don't think we need it. But, well, do you want to save that for Boba Fett discussion, or are we starting Boba Fett discussion?
No, all right. We'll save that for Boba Fett's discussion. We're almost done here with the news. So did you see this? Apparently Keanu Reeves donated 70% of his salary to cancer research for the first Matrix.
I did not know that.
I love this guy.
I tell you, this guy walking around like should be looked at as the standard celebrities are judged by.
Yes.
It really is. Here it is. You know, he makes movies. It's a job to him, you know, and he's successful at it, which is great. But you know what? He still just, he sees something going on. He lives life like a normal person. The fact that, you know, he takes the New York subway and he gets up and gives his seats to people who might be, you know, tired, not feeling well or whatever. He just gets up and gives them his seat. And he does. He's like a philanthropist. Like, yeah, I'm successful, but you know what? I don't need to hoard all this money. I'm going to share it and try to make the world a better place. He should be the standard for celebrity behavior, I think.
No, he's perfect. Like, he's not the best actor, but he's just, I'd say he's the best human being, because he is. He's a very caring, sincere human being. He doesn't look for publicity. Like, he doesn't go around tweeting this stuff. It was like, oh, by the way, I donated 70% of my salary to cancer research. His right. sister had leukemia at the time. So I guess he was very concerned about that. Again, he's a great guy. I forget what movie set he was on, but he overheard some of the cast members talking, and one of the girls said she was having problems with her mortgage, or she needed like $10,000, and he ended up paying it off for her. And I don't even know if he let her know about it, you know, or she eventually found out, but he's just that type of person that he wants to do good. He doesn't want recognition for it. He gets more out of it because it makes him feel good knowing that he helped somebody. And right. that's what I love about him. And he's not political. It's, you know, he's not pissing off 50% of his audience. He wants everybody to like him. He is a uniter. He is not a divider. I love the guy. I would probably push for him to be in a lot more movies just because he's one hell of a guy.
I'll go with that.
Yep.
You know, I'd love to see him get a shot at one of these huge franchises. I mean, granted, yes, The Matrix is big, but like, I'd love to see him used in either Star Wars or Marvel as somebody.
I think they've been trying to do that. I think that they would like to him.
But it might
like
be, for him. Maybe it's too big. Maybe he doesn't want to get wrapped up in all of that.
He's weird, though, because like, he might like these little things that we're unaware of. I forget what it was, but there were some things that he really liked that he wanted to be a part of. I don't know if it was Toy Story 4. Like, he might have liked the Toy Story movies, and he really wanted to be in it. And they got him in Toy Story 4 as like the guy on the motorcycle. But he's done movies like that where you're kind of surprised that he's in it, but you find out that he's a fan of the character. And what else has he done? Well, it's not, you know, other than John Wick and The Matrix, I can't think of recent movies that he's done. But anyway, my point is, that's great. More people should be like him. I can't say enough good things about him. All right, let's move on so we can get into Boba Fett. So one last story. So Paul Feige? It's probably Paul Feig. So he was the director of the 2016 Ghostbusters movie. And recently they came out with the Ghostbusters Ultimate Collection on Blu-ray and 4K disc. And it did not include the Ghostbusters 2016 movie. So it had Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2, and it had Ghostbusters Afterlife. And he was pissed. So he's been on Twitter just freaking out over it. He wrote, Sony, I know this must be a mistake. We do have a lot of fans. And Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson were in the movie. And it won the Kids' Choice Awards.
And Sigourney Weaver and Danny Potts.
Oh, were they? They were in that crap movie too?
Yeah, everybody was in it.
That's disgusting.
Except for Ivan Reitman. Yeah.
Oh, he was dead though.
I don't think Rick Moranis was in it because he was still kind of staying off the radar at that time. But he's right. They must have made a mistake, a terrible mistake, leaving that out.
No, I think it's funny that he's pushing that. It won the Kids' Choice Award for Best Feature Film. It's kids voted that movie. I've never seen it. For me, you've this seen is the equivalent.
You've seen the women, the all-girl Ghostbusters.
No, I haven't. You? I haven't seen it.
So you've been condemning it without seeing it.
Yes.
No, Joe.
That's my joke.
Joseph Hogarty. I'm shocked at you. You're just going on hearsay. You may have watched it and actually.
I just need to see it. The trailers and it just.
This isn't the Joker. This isn't going to depress you. This isn't going to make you sad. This is a happy movie. Go see anyway. It. Just for Chris Hemsworth dancing.
No, I will not see it. Plain and simple. Like I didn't have a problem with Ghostbusters Afterlife. Again, it was a new group of. Did you see that?
I haven't gotten to see it yet.
I thought it was okay. I mean,
I'll probably see it when it comes on TBS or something else. But
you know, they had new Ghostbusters and some of them I guess some of them were related to the original Ghostbusters. And I was fine with them like being mixed, like where you had a girl on the team, a boy on the team, an Asian on the team, a person of color on the team, that's fine. But when you have four girls on the team, just doesn't make any sense. And I just couldn't
picture. Girls were great. Sorry.
That was shut the hell up.
And you know, she is a national treasure.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I was glad that wasn't in that set. Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm somewhat a Ghostbusters fan. I probably wouldn't have bought it if that movie was in there. I guess I could have thrown it out. But it's almost like you're wasting money. It's like, let's keep the cost down on this box set. Nobody wants to see this piece of crap movie other than Jack McCarthy.
Who it is on my list of movies. If it's on, I will watch it.
Yeah, that and Venom. So that's what you know what type of person Jack is.
I don't know.
He'll skip Casablanca and Lawrence of Arabia. But that Ghostbusters 2000.
I'll watch anytime. Lawrence of Arabia is just too long.
Yeah, it is a little boring.
That's too long.
All right. Okay, let's get into the Book of Boba Fett. So you weren't here. You were under the weather, so you missed it for the first episode. But Fedra and I kind of reviewed it. I want to make one point. I don't hate the series, but I just don't understand. I don't think it's very good, and I don't think that the writers really knew what they were doing. It's just not a fun story where it's
Jon Favreau. He just doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to Star Wars.
Well, no, I'm just saying this particular series, they probably, or Kathleen Kennedy might have went to him. It's like, look, we need another series. How about you do Boba Fett? Just come up with something and then we'll start shooting it. And it's like, well, what about if Boba Fett goes back to Tatooine and takes over Jabba's throne and he basically ends up ruling in that section of Tatooine. Who cares? Who really wants to see that? Wouldn't you rather see him as a bounty hunter, basically going around the universe, finding like these different types
going of, around, taking names, kicking ass,
killing them,
getting milk in a dirty glass.
It's like, give me my my money. Look, here's my give me my money. Bounty. Where's my bounty?
Give me my money.
Well, that would sound better than the books that we have now.
Give me my money.
All right. So you've seen the second episode?
I've seen the second episode.
All right. So what did you think of the first and second episode? Which one did you like better? And do you like
it? Well, you see, here's Here's the thing about the show for me. While I'm not as hypercritical as you are, I will say it almost feels like two different shows.
It is.
And one show is I really like.
Which part? Which one?
Okay. The one show I like when he's in the present and he's starting his business. Okay. I like that part a lot. That feels very Star Wars to me. I love the fact that we're seeing Twi'leks walking around, that the mayor is an Ithorian. He's got two Gamorreans around, but I'm just waiting till he gives him some clothes.
What, the Gamorreans?
The two Gamorreans. They're just walking around.
You know what's funny about them? So are those like, are those two fat guys? Like, are those like their bellies? Because they look a lot smaller than the Gamorreans that we saw in Return of the Jedi.
They do look a lot smaller.
I think that's actually a bunch of fat guys. And there's no makeup for their body other than the green color.
But if they're acting as his bodyguards, you know, we've seen that the Gamorreans wear armor.
Mm.
You know, even the one that bounced off me on Star Wars Weekends was wearing armor. You know, but give the guy some clothes at least, you know. But I like that. I like that there's Thrandoshans walking around. I like that they fixed the Thrandoshans from Mandalorian. If you notice when they're around, they finally have a little bit more of that elongated snout, like Bossk had when we first saw him in The Empire Strikes Back. They were kind of very flat-faced almost in when they showed up in The Mandalorian. So they looked very good. It was great to see the Wookiee Black Santa, something like that. He's in the Star Wars comic books currently.
Oh, is he really? I didn't know that.
He is. He like beat the crap out of Chewbacca. And he's in the comics. It was great to see him on film. I'm like, holy crap, when he walked out.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a little synopsis and it says the twins arrive with their minion, Black Chrysanthemum. So I guess you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
he has a specific look.
Well, he's a black Wookiee, but he also has like these pieces of armor on him. You know, like Chewbacca has his little bandolier, but you know, he's got like armor and stuff. And I don't know if they're bolted onto him or not, because in the comics, like he goes through all sorts of stuff. And that stuff never comes off, you know, but it's just a cool look of a character. And also in the comics, like Wookiees have claws. We don't see Chewbacca, you know, slash somebody, but because in the old Marvel Legends, since the Wookiees live in trees, they do have claws that retract that they can, you know, climb, be great climbers and climb trees. But it's considered dishonorable to use your claws in combat. But in the comic book, he doesn't care. He's slashing people. He's beating them up. You know, he's shooting them. He's doing all sorts of stuff. So he's a cool character, even though his dialogue pretty much amounts to, you know, he's like a badass Chewbacca, an evil Chewbacca. But it was cool to see him. They did a nice job on the huts. I thought the huts looked better than the first few special editions where we saw them when Lucas decided to do a CGI hut. Okay, so that part I'm really liking. The dream sequences when he's in his back to Beth. In the first episode, I didn't mind it too much.
So you got to admit, I was right.
Not about the first episode.
I said it was going to turn into Dances with Wolves, and it did. Did it not?
Yes, but you said, oh, the sand people are good. They're misunderstood. No, the sand people were rotten in the first part. The second part, you know, when they accepted him into the tribe, all I kept thinking is that scene in the tent. Like, remember when the Ewoks are playing the drums and 3PO says, oh, we are now part of the tribe. You know, I was waiting for somebody to come out and say that.
So I thought you were talking about when John Dunbar, after the buffalo hunt, and they were all eating buffalo, and that guy stole his hat.
But, you know, oh, well, that was, like I said, it did get a little too Dances with Wolves. So, yes, you were right on that account. It could have been he was there and they tolerated him, but now, you know, he's like a beloved member of the tribe. And yeah, that went a little overboard. Because like I said, in the first one, they were still savages. You know, it's like, oh, they're not, you know, oh, they're misunderstood. No, they found this guy beat up in the desert, started beating him with sticks, dragged him behind a banta, tied him to a stake, beat him up some more.
But why didn't they just kill him?
Yeah, because they were using him for slave labor to dig up those little, what do you call them?
I don't
watermelon?
Know.
Watermelon? Not watermelons, but some black melons or whatever it was with the water, you know. But, you know, once they accepted him, you could see that he's introducing to them to things like, you know, a rake, you know, to better find these little melons out there, you know. It did get a little too much. His willingness to help them stop the train was a little bit too much, even though I did kind of like that scene, but
that was a cool scene.
I just kept wondering, it's like, here comes this train. It's just going through. And these guys on the train are like, hey, let's just shoot the crap out of some people hanging out there. Like, it's not like the Raiders were attacking these trains. You know, it's like they'd see the train and go running. And if you looked, if they looked back, they got shot. Like,
well, they were practicing.
Well, this is what I mean. You know,
they probably haven't shot anybody in a while.
Yeah. You know,
they want to make sure the guns work.
That's probably it. But Patrick noticed that the guys on those trains what do you call them? That is the same criminal group that has been around since the Clone Wars. Because I was wondering, remember in episode one, we saw them use the speeder bikes to, it looked like trash to Skywalker house, and they painted the symbols on it.
Yeah.
Patrick recognized that symbol. And then when he saw the guys with the masks on, he's like, oh, those are the, and I can't quite remember the name, but that is one of the criminal organizations that has been in the Clone Wars animated series. And I think those are the ones that, remember in the last season of Clone Wars, Ahsoka and her two friends, the
Patty and Selma
smuggler types, you know, that they tried to switcheroo on some spice. Yeah. That's that organization. I didn't make that connection, but Patrick did when he saw the masks on them. He's like, Dad, that's the, I'm like, oh yeah. So I like that it tied back to that. I thought the scene on the train was exciting, but like I said, I don't understand why Boba Fett was so willing to help them.
Why didn't he kill any of them? Like, once he captured them, they're like, I will not kill you. I want you to send a message. Give me a break. That's my biggest problem is, again, Disney is taking their villains and they're turning them all into good guys. Because you have to admit that Boba Fett's a good guy in this.
You know what? I don't think he's technically a good guy from the parts of the part of the movie I like. You know, because when he went in to see the mayor, you know, he's like, he's just walking. He's like, you don't want to mess with me. I'm here to see. No, I'm sorry. I don't.
No, he's still a good guy. Well, here's the point. It when he first sees like the mayor's major dobo, whatever the hell you want to call him, and he says, "Oh, you know, where's my tribute? I don't have any, but you owe us tribute instead." He should have killed him right then and there. You know, his girlfriend there was going to kill him, and he's like, "No, don't kill him." It's like, that's not Boba Fett. That's not Boba Fett at all.
Honestly, but you see, honestly, we don't know that much about Boba Fett. And I think I talked to you about this, not on the show, but like, since Boba Fett became such a cool character, only because of his suit, and then we saw him in the prequels, in the comics that Dark Horse did. Dark Horse generally did a pretty good job, but whenever they did a story about a villain, and DC and Marvel have the same problem as well, whenever they do a story about where the villain is the main character, he automatically over time starts to convert into a good guy. And it's been so long since the prequel movies that I think a lot of these people who are working on the show only know that version of Boba Fett as that semi...
A little boy?
Not the little boy, but...
Well, that's what he was.
They know him more as like the villain eventually turning into not so bad a villain. You know, sort of like how when Venom became, you know, oh, he's not a villain, he's an anti-hero, you know. So they've only known most of Boba Fett's characterization as that versus the guy who's a cold-blooded killer who hunts people for money. So from when we've seen, from when we saw Boba Fett first show up in The Empire Strikes Back, think about it, Joe. There's been an entire generation of Star Wars fans who have, their exposure to Boba Fett has been this watered down version of him as an anti-hero, not as a villain. And I think that growth, growing up with that version of the character, I think is why we don't see the Dirty Harry type Boba Fett you want to see. You know,
See Boba Fett as it is. I mean, yeah. I'll be honest with you, but if you're going to be Boba Fett, you should be a villain. I'm just tired again of, you know, Disney basically doing this with Star Wars and Marvel, making all of their villains non-villains, or, you know, it's almost like they don't want to offend people that might have been incarcerated. It's like, well, no, you know, there's no villains. People are just misunderstood. The sand people, they're misunderstood. They're good people. They really are. You know, they have families and they have birthday parties. And
but see, I did not get that sense in the first episode.
I did.
They weren't good people. They were savages. No. Now, in the second episode, now that they accepted them, it's like, oh, you know what? They're not so bad. They're just missing. You're right. That's where they're just misunderstood. They're just hanging out in the desert doing sand people things. And this train comes by and starts shooting them all the time.
Yeah, because I guess like because they could probably even go back and say, well, they could have killed Luke. They really didn't kill him when they first encountered him. And they just ripped off C-3PO's arm. You know, it's like they didn't necessarily kill him. But no, I'm just sick and tired of that. They just do too much. And it's not just Disney. It's DC. It's whatever the hell company that's Warner Brothers or whatever is in charge of all this crap. I'm just tired.
What I'm wondering is if they wrote themselves the backup cover your ass statement into it. Remember when they're in the tent and the chief is sort of, what is he saying? Like, there are many different Tusken
tribes. Yeah, I heard that crap.
Different outlooks. Like maybe that was the CYA.
Oh, yeah, but again,
there's still bad tribes out there. We're just
Right. Well, that's Dances with Wolves. It's like, you know, we're not the Comanche. You know, we're whatever type of Indian they were back then.
I keep waiting for the one guy who's been out on a long hunt to walk in, you know. And he's got all these furry strips hanging from his like desert dusty robe. And what's that? You know, he's like, hey, I've got a whole bunch of scalps here or something, you know? Like,
you're not going to see that.
Well, that's what this I mean. We never see that.
Now, my prediction was right. It was Dances with Wolves. So I have two more predictions. I don't think they're both going to come true. But I think, number one, he might marry that female Tusken Raider.
Well, you know what I was hoping? I was hoping to see when he was in the tent and they accepted him into the tribe, that either they would start putting, was it the breath mask and the goggles things on him? Or, you know, where you could see like, oh yeah, they're really making him like they are. Or we would actually see like the chief or one of them reveal his face.
That's my second prediction. I think that that's probably going to happen more so, but I don't want to see that. That's not the Sand People, you know, because what would bother me even more is if they unwrapped their face and they were human looking, you know?
Right. You know, I was waiting. If that happened, you know, it'd be like, exactly. There's a Mary McConnell who's been living with the Indian tribe forever, you know, that, you know, the Tuscan, the girl when he's fighting takes it off and she's this beautiful girl under all these crazy bandages. But you know what bothers me more than that? These guys are hanging out in the desert. They make their way, they're scurrying around and all this. Why the heck are these guys wearing black? First off, if you're out in the desert, you don't want to be wearing black. First off, the color itself will attract heat, make you hotter. You know, plus, if they're supposed to be scurrying around and hiding in the desert, why are you wearing black when everything around you is beige?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, that's what bothers the heck out of me. That's what bothers me about the Dune movies, actually, too. You know, the black robes might look cool, but you know what? If you're talking, these are desert people who blend in with their surroundings. They're not wearing black when they're standing in a sand dune.
Well, again, it's the aesthetic look. It's kind of like if you're shooting a scene with all these characters against the desert.
But that's what they should be. They should almost be ghosts in the desert, that they can sneak around and go where they want. And, you know, nobody could quite get a handle on them. That aspect of adding that kind of mystery to them, that like the reason people are afraid of these guys is because they can just appear out of nowhere and do an attack and be violent and all this stuff.
I mean, if they were so nice people, why were they shooting at young Anakin, you know, when he was doing that pod race?
Yeah, exactly.
That must have been another tribe.
That's another tribe. Sorry, those guys over there, they're R2-D2 screen, you know.
Or they could say it's like, oh, well, you know, well, we can see the future and we knew he was going to be bad, so we tried to kill him ahead of time.
Yeah, they were smoking some of those desert melon skins or something, you know. But I mean, like I said, it's two parts of there's two different series going on. There's the Back to Dreams and the current day. The current day stuff I think is terrific. I tell you though, the Trandoshans looked so much better. The Twi'leks looked good. I was afraid they were going to like make every Twi'lek girl is gorgeous and every Twi'lek male looks like Bib Fortuna with, you know, the busted up teeth and the freaky looks. But they had one guy, I don't know if you noticed, one guy in the casino, Jennifer Beals' casino, like he looked like he had Darth Maul tattoos again. He was like all red with like black streaks on him. Like little stuff like that in the background, I think goes such a long way. And the Ithorian looked fantastic.
I like that name, Jennifer Beals' casino. I think that's they should officially call
Jennifer
that.
Jennifer Beals' casino.
You got to admit, she looks good.
She does look good. She still looks awfully good. But I mean, the Ithorian, the mayor, I thought he looked fantastic. You know, he, you know, obviously he has a little bit of age, but he's got the little bit of hairs that come out. So he's not just smooth and bumpy, you know, like the, like we saw in the originals cantina scene. You know, it shows how far they come. Like, this guy looked like he's was not just a creature in the dark, but he looked like a living, breathing alien. I thought they did such a good job on him.
No, and I liked that fight in the desert that he had when he was with that kid. And, you know, that thing came out of the sand, that creature
Sand. That centaur type thing.
Yeah, I thought that looked pretty cool. I think that some of the designs look really good. Again, I know I said last time,
as Jack loves it. I wanted to ask you, that maybe you had more time. I just finished watching it before we came on. Remember when one of the Tusken Raiders' dogs, those little lizard dog things, was carried away? Was that a womp rat?
No, womp rats aren't that big.
I don't. Well, they're about, according to Luke Skywalker, they're not much bigger than 2 meters wide. That's about 6 feet. So I didn't get a good look at it, and I didn't have time to go back. But I was wondering if that was a womp rat that grabbed the dog and started hauling it off when they shot it.
I don't know. I always imagine them being smaller. But I don't know. But that's another thing. Yeah, so those things, they're dogs. You know, they look like vicious creatures. No, they're misunderstood too.
Dogs. I mean, you know, guard dog.
Whatever.
You know, a Doberman is a very affectionate dog. They just have a bad reputation because they were used as guard dogs. And same thing, German Shepherds. A lot of people are scared of them, but those are terrific dogs. Depends how you raise them. But I was also like, I'm looking at different things because I know that there really is a shift going back towards conventional special effects. And the dogs on the show, I wonder if they like just get like real dogs, put them in a costume or something, and then they just enhance them with like CGI overlays or something. Cause there are a lot of scenes where I'm like, that thing is moved. That looks like it's moving, not CGI.
Do you think the Banthas are elephants?
I do think the Banthas are elephants. I do think they're going back and just making them up that way. But it's like when those dogs run around, they leave the way sand kicks up behind them and they leave footprints. I'm just wondering if it's conventional effects enhanced.
I'll try to find that out for you.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, the makeup I think is terrific. I thought the huts looked better than they did in special editions and the prequels. I thought the two were funny. I liked how the girl was pink and had a little heart. Like, yeah, that doesn't help you look better, sweetheart. You know. But I thought they did a good job with the huts as well. So,
yeah, I think their heads look fine and most of their body, their arms look weird and they still look weird in the special editions too. Or was there a hut in the, they had a hut in the prequels, right?
Yeah. Well, they had them in the Phantom Menace. Remember Jabba started the pod race and, I don't remember any other huts in the prequels themselves, but you know, there's a reason George Lucas kept playing with those films to get them right.
Well,
and we've seen it from the special edition the first time to the DVD release to the Blu-ray release. You know, they keep tweaking those huts, trying to get them look better each time.
They still don't look as good as the original, though, you know, which was practical effects.
Yeah, which was just a giant puppet.
Yeah.
And you know, it surprises me they can't get the coloring right.
That's true, yeah.
You know, like in Return of Jedi, I mean, Jabba was mostly brown.
Yeah.
But they,
a lot
they
darker.
Had to keep throwing splats of green and stuff on him. And, just go with those shades of brown and stuff, you know. But hey, who knows?
I would say, like, my other complaint with this too is I don't like what is his name? The guy that plays Boba Fett. Tiramisu. I know that's not his name. Tiramisu.
Yes, and his sidekick, Eclair, you know, like no, I mean
Tamir Mara Morrison, whatever. I can't pronounce his first name, but he's too old. He's too old to play the character.
He should be old.
Well, when he does the flashbacks, I think they should have gotten somebody else to do him because he's got a big pot belly. And when you think about it, I don't know how long he was in the Sarlacc pit. I don't think he was fat. You know,
well, he's getting slowly digested over a span of 1,000 years. You know.
Yeah, but let's say like he was in. I think he was in there at least a couple of days in the Sarlacc pit.
Probably because all the debris and stuff was still.
Yeah. Oh, that was something that Charlie mentioned, and I didn't catch this the first time. What the hell was a stormtrooper doing in there?
No, stormtrooper got eaten somewhere along. It's 1,000 years. If something falls in there, it's 1,000 years to digest it. Oh, that guy could have been in there for months, years.
So that's kind of like a penny for a Sarlacc pit, or a piece of corn where it doesn't digest.
According to 3PO, like, they're slowly digested. So he could have been in there until he starved to death and he's still being digested. I don't know. But yeah, he probably came out of somewhere. But I do like the scene, though, when, you know, you're looking at the desert and you see the debris in the background and out comes the hand from the sand. And he starts.
Oh, that was a cool scene. Like I said, the first 10 minutes, I was so happy. You know, I was like, oh, this is really good. But then I just don't like this whole thing. Like, he's the head of the Boba Fett mafia, whatever you want to call it over there.
Well, not yet. It's only him and four guys, you know.
Yeah. So, I don't like her. I'm sorry. She never smiles.
I don't think she's happy and cheerful, but.
No, she's not. You know, she needs to lighten up a little bit. Smile, pussycat, you know.
Well, she did kind of laugh what the when the guy was thrown into the rancor pit and he was freaking out and just
that like, was lame. Again, it's another thing. It's like, why didn't you, you know, get a rancor in there? It's like, we don't want to show anything that's too nasty or too villainous because they don't want to make him a villain. He's a villain. I'm sorry.
Maybe you'll eventually see it. Like I said, his whole mob, mob is him and four guys. Him,
he's never going to be a sidekick. He is never going to be
a droid.
I forgot about the droid.
That's his whole mob. Four guys. Give him time.
No, but my point is too. Like when you see him training with the sand people, he's got a big pot belly. I mean, he should have been starving. They were barely feeding the guy. You know, it just is really weird. They should have hired somebody younger. Because he's basically all he is he's a shaved head. I don't think it's too difficult to get somebody to look like him. I just think
is it a shaved head, or is because he was getting he's all scarred up because
he was scarred up and he lost his hair.
He's got all acid burns and stuff on him.
Well, yeah, I mean he's supposed to be the clone of Jango Fett,
right?
And you know
he's supposed to be an unaltered clone, so he's.
But he's supposed to look like, you know, Rex, basically, wouldn't you say?
Well, Rex is supposed to look like him.
Yeah, you know, that's what he should look like. But
yeah, because they all should have the same face, just like the Bad Batch. They all kind of look alike. But when they're with the proper clone troops, they all look the same except for a change in haircut or tattoo or something on them.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not a huge fan of the series just because like I said, I would rather him go out and collect bounties. And I have a feeling this is what the Obi-Wan series is going to be. Like how you said that you don't like how it splits into flashbacks or it's two different stories. That's what Obi-Wan is going to be. Cause I think it's going to show him on Tatooine kind of looking over young Luke. And then he's going to have flashbacks when he was with Anakin, Hayden Christensen.
Hello there. Let me tell you a story about
Because there's no way they're bringing Hayden Christensen back to make him look all scarred. They're going to have him looking like Anakin Skywalker from the Attack of the Clones, or, you know, like when he was in the Clone Wars.
Right.
So probably,
pre-Return of the Sith, when, you know, he's got the scar on his face and.
Yeah. Or we might see him get his scar or something like that. Anyway. Not a huge fan. Hopefully it gets better. I like The Mandalorian. That kind of surprised me, but this one is just not doing it for me.
Well, the Mandalorian had a different feel to it. It really did. This is a little tough to get, and I hope the dreams from the back to baths like sort of let up. I mean, I get why
it's never gonna happen. Those.
Huh?
It's never going to happen. It's going to be that throughout the whole series. I'm guaranteeing you on this one. He's getting married.
I don't know.
He's going to have a sand people baby.
Well, I mean, I did see something on IO9 where Slave One has been sitting in Jabba's like basement or something like that. So he should be getting Slave One back soon.
But they don't call it Slave One anymore.
Well, we'll see whatever they call it. But for Star Wars fans, it'll always be Slave One. It's not going to come. It's going to be a tough fight going to Boba Fett's starship.
Yeah. No. That's a good statement, Jack. For Star Wars fans, it'll always be Slave One. Or... until I'm, I am CEO of Disney, then I'll make sure that it's Slave One again.
Well, did they ever say the name Slave One in the movies?
I don't think so.
Because this could have been like one of those things like, you know, where all the Ewoks have names. And none of them had any name in any of the movies.
But when they did the merchandise, they had to create a Slave One ship.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did somebody back in the 80s come up like, you know, it'd be a cool name for a ship? And
it was a cool name.
The merchandising, and that took off.
Yeah, but that's what it should be. Anyway, we won't get too deep into that.
No.
All right, like I was saying, Jack seems to like it a little more than I do. Hopefully, I'll join Jack at some point. Don't hold your breath. I can't say enough good things about Jennifer Beals. I do think she's probably gonna be the villain in this. If there is a villain.
If he hooks up with anybody, bring her back. We know she can dance. There we go.
That's not true. She had a dance double.
Really?
I met her too. Yeah. Her name is Marine Jahan. That last dance scene. Oh my God. They had three different people dancing or four different people dancing. One of them was a guy and he had a mustache and he had a wig on.
Really? Well, I would have to track down Flash Dance to, you know, confirm that somewhere.
No, I can confirm if, you know, cause he was like, you know, he does the spin on his back. He was the only one that they could find that could do that. You know, when she's doing the spin on her back, when she's trying to join the ballet troupe and all that.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
but who knows? I hope we see more of the Hutts, that we see more of Black Curse, whatever his name is.
Yeah. We got to find out how to pronounce his name.
Well, it's like K-R-R-R. S, like, is that Chris or I don't know. That's what's probably throwing me, the first part of the name. But like I said, it was cool to see that. I'd love to see a fight between Boba Fett and him, you know, but we'll, or the two Gamorreans.
I'm sure we will.
You know, so yeah, I mean, the fact that they brought him in there, they're going to use him for something.
Yeah, he is a cool looking character. I will give you that.
Yeah, and he's now past. This show takes place after all the Marvel comics. So even if they kill him in the series, they could still use him in the comics. You know, it's just you're looking at this guy and you know he's eventually going to get it, you know. So
what's the deal with so the old books are not canon, like the novels?
Yeah, all the old comics and old books, those are all considered legends that you can read them and enjoy them as stories, but don't try to tie them into continuity.
So they basically cherry pick, like what they did with Boba Fett coming out of the Sarlacc pit.
Well, that's what they're doing now. I mean, they've done that with Rebels, where, you know, they've brought Thrawn in, but they brought bits and pieces of it, of him in.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, like when you're watching it, you know, you see that he's got the Ysimri. I don't know if I'm saying that right. The little force creature, the creatures that can nullify the force, you know, he's got a picture of them around, but you know, in the comics, he always had one on his shoulder because he never trusted if there was a Jedi around, you know. So they cherry picked a lot of stuff out of there. And that's what's fun, that they're starting to bring in some of the stuff, the good stuff that was back in the Legends. Because while they had a lot of good stuff, they also had a lot of bad stuff. And maybe with this cherry picking, we'll see some of that good stuff return. So we'll see.
All right. All right, Jack, let's wrap this one up. So can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Shout out to Tom from Philly. Thank you for your email. And I hope we covered all that stuff in regards to the Rolex in Hawkeye. He thought like you did, Joe, that it was Tony's repulsor watch versus Hawkeye's wife's watch. So had more of a sentimental value than anything else. But shout out, thank you for the email. And if anybody else wants to send me an email, you can send it to me at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, I think what we're going to do in the near future is we're going to rank our Marvel movies, which there's a lot of. I forget how many are there. It's like 26.
It's 21, I think, now. No, there's more. It was 21 up to Endgame. So we've got 24.
Yeah, we got 25. At least 25. Yeah, if you want, if you guys want to rank the movies and send them to either me or Jack or Fedra.
Well, you know what? We've done a ranking before. Why don't we do like your favorite MCU characters?
Well, we could do that too, but I think that, you know, Dan had ranked them and I thought that would be fun because, you know, there's more movies that we haven't really ranked in the official rankings of the MCU. And it'll be kind of interesting to revisit our rankings. We don't have to see them all again. I think
I'm not gonna watch them all again.
Yeah. Well, some people do. I know a lot of people love to rewatch them. I'm just not there. You know, I'm busy watching the Harry Potter series right now, but I'm almost done with that one.
Hey, anyway, they're really not that bad.
What? Marvel
Harry
movies?
Harry Potter movies. I know Harry
Potter. I was never a fan of Goblet of Fire, but I kind of liked it a little bit more this time. Anyway.
All right, so send Joe a friend request.
Yeah.
Friend request on Facebook.
And check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show, enjoy other WDWNT podcasts, and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 1. So until next time, see ya.
Good night. Be good. Be safe.